Try 4 weeks of The Spectator absolutely free. And, for this month only, you'll receive a Spectator wireless phone charger. Go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and this is the Sunday Roundup. A media storm has battered the government after it emerged that the Prime Minister's key adviser Dominic Cummings may have breached the government's lockdown guidance. In March, Cummings and his family left London to self-isolate in Durham in order to be near close relatives should he and his wife be unable to look after their four-year-old son. Cummings and the government insist that he did nothing wrong. Andrew Marr asked the Transport Secretary Grant Shapps whether this amounted to double standards.
After all of this, is there in effect a new Cummings clause, which is that if you are worried about a child, you can decide where you go and self-isolate, any part of the country, you can drive where you like, and the government is comfortable with that?
Well, I don't think there's any been a specific thing which says you can only move a mile or anything like that. The key point's always been that people remained locked down, which is exactly, as I understand it, what happened in this case in order to isolate and get beyond coronavirus. But
well, you know, you're asking... I'm sorry, let me read you your own government's guidance on this subject, given on the 22nd of March. It says, essential travel does not include visits to second homes or similar, whether and including for isolation purposes. People must remain in their primary residence. Mr Cummings did not do that.
Although, as we've discussed, when he arrived there at the place where he was going to get support and a property adjacent to his parents, he didn't then move around. He remained there in a place where they thought they could bring best care to their child. And as the bit of the guidance that you didn't read out makes clear, it asks people to make every effort. It acknowledges, it says, keep following the advice to the best of your ability. However, we are aware that not all of these measures will be possible. The key thing is not to keep moving around. And so, some of these stories sort of try to suggest that there was this is the point. Some of these stories are trying to suggest that he went up, he came back, he went up. I mean, three times I've seen suggested. And again, my understanding is that's not the case.
So the lesson now is for everyone in this country who could have done something like this but chose not to. They got it wrong.
No, look, I think that people have been magnificent about the way that the country on the whole has followed this. And everyone will have had to make difficult, I completely accept what you're saying, difficult and complicated decisions about the way that they organise their life through this process. In this case, as I understand it, Mr Cummings decided that the best way to provide that security for the child was to be in a location where the sister and the niece could drop food off on the doorstep, and that happened to be in that location.
Is he going to resign?
No.
Sophie Ridge also questioned Shapps about two fresh allegations that appeared in The Observer and The Sunday Mirror.
OK, so just to be crystal clear, because this is important, you're effectively saying that the two new allegations, the first, that Mr Cummings travelled back up to Durham on the 19th of April, and the second is that he was seen by a witness, apparently, in Barnard Castle, 30 miles from Durham, on the 12th of April. You're going on the record to say that both of those allegations are not true.
I certainly know that the first one that you mentioned of travelling back up, I know that's not true. It's put out a statement saying actually
so how about
back
Barnard
in
Castle?
London on the 14th. I'm afraid I don't know, but if that date was true, that would have been outside of the 14-day lockdown period. But I'm afraid I don't have information on that. But I do know that it's not the case that he's travelled backwards and forwards, which seemed to be a major part of the stories I saw in the paper today.
Several Conservative MPs have been making their concerns about the Cummings incident known to the Prime Minister. The former Brexit Minister Steve Baker told Ridge how he felt about the situation.
If he doesn't resign, we'll just keep burning through Boris's political capital at a rate that we just can ill afford in the midst of this crisis. It's very clear that Dominic travelled when everybody else understood Dominic's slogans to mean stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives. And I think mums and dads who very much care about their children and who have been foregoing the childcare of their extended family will wonder why he's been allowed to do this. And I really just don't see, as we approach the Prime Minister at the Liaison Committee on Wednesday, how this is going to go away unless Dominic goes.
Are you concerned that the message that people will now take from this is that the rules laid down for the government on lockdown are there to be interpreted rather than followed?
Well, this is a point I've made in the House of Commons. You know, we can't be in a situation where there's uncertainty about what one is obliged to do under law on penalty of fines. After all, breaking the public health lockdown rules is a criminal offence. You get a criminal record if you don't pay the fines. If you pay the fines, it's not recordable. But this is the point. There's law is being involved here to punish people. And to be in a position now where there's extreme latitude in the interpretation of the rules, well, that makes them completely unenforceable for the police. I mean, how are the police supposed to enforce laws when they're now subject to such wide interpretation? It means that the lockdown in law, in practice, is virtually repealed. It isn't, I should say, for the public, it is not, in fact, repealed. But we're now in a nonsense position, a pantomime position, where it seems that if you wish to apply a wide common sense interpretation of the rules, you can do, at least if you work in number 10. It's ridiculous. It's got to stop. And Dominic should go.
The Shadow Home Secretary, Nick Thomas-Simmons, said that Labour would also be calling for further action.
What we're asking for two things. Firstly, for there to be an urgent investigation by the Cabinet Office. And second, for the Prime Minister today to take the press conference, the daily press conference himself, and provide answers, because this is an extraordinarily serious situation. The British people have made sacrifices, extraordinary sacrifices, to get through this crisis by following the guidelines. We know of grandparents, for example, who've not seen their grandchildren for months, sometimes newborn grandchildren, people who've died alone without families by their sides, people who've not been able to attend funerals. And that's happened because people have followed the guidelines. Now, in the particular situation of the Prime Minister's chief advisor, where there was someone in his household with the suspected symptoms of coronavirus, the guideline was very simple about not leaving home. The allegations we've seen are extraordinarily serious and they do need to be dealt with.
Ma asked Thomas-Simmons if he is prepared to help Labour councillors defy the government over reopening schools on 1st June.
There are now six Labour councils who explicitly say they will not reopen schools on the 1st of June. Do you back them or not?
Well, I think it's unsurprising that Labour councils are doing that. And of course, I respect right around the country, whether it's Labour councils or other bodies wanting to put safety first. And
sorry,
I'm talking to you
here. Do you back them or not?
I back anybody, whether it's Labour councils or others, who've not got to a stage where they have confidence from the government about safety. And what a contrast it is, Andrew, here in Wales, where I'm talking to you from, where the Welsh Labour government has put in place a decision-making framework. That framework brings together everybody. It brings together the unions, it brings together government officials, local authorities, and it brings together the relevant commissioners, like the Children's Commissioner, to establish a consensus as to when it is safe to go back to school. The approach of trying to divide people, of trying to say that different people in the education sector want different things, is the wrong thing to do. So, everybody wants to see people back in school when it's safe to do so, and that consensual approach is what we should be doing.
And finally, the President of the Royal Society, Venki Ramakrishnan, said that it was important that scientists were not held to unfair standards over advice given during the pandemic.
Scientists are working flat out to help with this pandemic. What they don't want is, when faced with very uncertain facts that are rapidly emerging and they're giving their best advice at the moment, what they don't want is to be blamed or found culpable in hindsight when more evidence comes along and the evidence changes. So that would be a very bad thing, but it is reassuring that that at least number 10 has recognized that. And, scientists should feel comfortable about giving frank advice. Otherwise, if they're not encouraged to be frank, that's really bad in terms of moving forward.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.